WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Pre-recorded.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Kellogg's Pep. P-E-P, Pep. Kellogg's Pep, the Sunshine Cereal, presents
The Adventures of Superman. Today, as Superman continues to search for the letter revealing his double identity, he unwittingly places a friend's life in jeopardy.
Hello there, gang. This is your pal, Dan McCullough. You know what I heard the other day? Well, somebody told me that one of the fellows in the gang was so thrilled and excited when he heard that Kellogg's Pep is putting out a brand new series of comic buttons. Well, he practically stood up and cheered. Yes, sir. And I'll bet you'll feel like that, too, when you get one of these new Pep comic buttons. It'll be one of your old favorite funny sheet characters, you know, like Goofy and Beezy from Harold Teen, or Barney Google, or Superman himself. Or any one of 18 new and different buttons, each one a real humdinger for color and sparkle. You'll get a big kick out of collecting these Pep comic buttons and swapping duplicates with your pals and wearing your collection pinned on your jacket or your dress or cap for everybody to see. Maybe you'll want to start a race with somebody to see who can collect the most Pep comic buttons the soonest. And say, here's the payoff, gang. You don't have to send in a single penny, not even a box stop. You can't even buy these swell comic buttons anywhere. All you do is ask Mom to get you plenty of Kellogg's Pep and look for your prize inside every package. Yes, and Pep's a prize when it comes to good eating, too. Tastes a doggone sunny and delicious. It helps breakfast start off your day in high. So ask Mom for P-E-P, the Sunshine Cereal, Kellogg's Pep.
And now the adventures of Superman.
While Clark Kent searches desperately for a lost letter in which his identity as Superman is revealed, he is unaware that it is in the possession of two pickpockets called Eyebrows and Buster. At first, an investigation of Kent led the thieves to believe the letter was written as a joke on the young reporter, who they were informed is a mild young man lacking in physical courage. But when an advertisement in the Daily Planet offered a reward of $1,000 for the return of the letter unopened, Eyebrows decided that meant Kent must be Superman, realizing that if he could prove it, he could sell his information to the underworld for a fortune. Eyebrows told his confederate,
"Tonight, Buster, I'm going to prove that Clark Kent is Superman."
As we continue, it is later that evening, and the city room of the Daily Planet is almost deserted. In his office, Clark Kent is anxiously pacing the floor as Editor Perry White enters. Listen.
Anything new, Kent?
Oh, not a thing, Chief. Papers have been on the street almost 3 hours. Surely whoever found the letter must have seen the ad by now.
Yes, I suppose
so. On page one of every evening paper in Metropolis.
I know. But look, Kent, maybe nobody's found the letter.
Oh, somebody must have found it. You had it today at noon before you went to the observatory on Mount Arthur, didn't you?
Yes, but...
And it isn't anywhere in our shop, nor at the observatory, nor in the taxicab you rode in. So either someone picked your pocket or you dropped it outside and somebody found it.
Well, I suppose I lost it on the street and the street cleaner shoveled it up. It might be on the city junk pile.
No, it isn't. I looked.
You looked? When?
A little while ago.
Oh. Say, what are you talking about?
Huh?
It would take you a month to go through that 5 acres of trash on the city heap.
Don't be silly.
Silly? Wait, where are you?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Chief. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be insulting. It's just that I'm very worried. I was hoping that ad would bring results so that the police or Candy Myers or maybe Batman would turn up something, but I'm starting to think I'm out of luck.
You? Why are you out of luck?
Huh? Oh, I mean Superman is.
Now, listen, Kent. I've been giving this matter a great deal of thought. I still can't figure it out. Of course, I have no idea what could be in that letter, but whatever it is, I can't see how it could harm Superman.
Well, I wish I could explain it to you, Chief.
You mean you know? Do you?
Yes, I do.
Well, then, for Pete's sake, tell me. What's in it? Maybe I can help somehow.
No, you can't help, Chief, and I can't tell you what's in the letter.
Well, how do you know? Why don't you tell me anyhow?
Because I can't.
Why not? Did Superman swear you to secrecy when you were up in the planet Apollo with him?
Well, I suppose that's one way of putting it.
Oh, what kind of an answer is that? Either he did or he didn't.
Well, he...
Now, look here, Kent. All this is beginning to sound cockeyed to me.
But
I'm getting a sort of strange idea, too, about
just
you.
A minute, Steve. Maybe that's about the end. Hello?
That you, Clark?
Yes, who is it?
Well, this is Bruce.
Who?
Bruce Wayne. You know, Batman.
Oh, hello, Bruce. Oh, sorry, I didn't register for a moment. Look, have you had any luck?
Well, no, but...
No, who's that? Bruce Wayne.
Listen.
That playboy.
I've thought of something that may be very important. Can you come over here?
Well, I don't know. Somebody might come in yet and answer to the ad, and I think I should be here in case...
Look, leave word you're with me at the Boulevard Club. If anybody shows up, the switchboard girl can phone you, and you can hop right back as super... Well, you know what I mean.
Well...
It's really important, Clark.
Okay, then. I'll arrange things here and be right over.
Good. You'll find me in the dining room.
Something, Clark. You probably haven't eaten all day. As a matter of fact, I haven't, but I don't feel much like eating. I'm too worried.
I know, but just the same, you should eat.
I'll order. No, please, Bruce. No, I haven't time. Just tell me what you wanted to see me about.
Okay, here it is. First, it occurred to me that anybody reading that letter probably wouldn't believe it.
Oh, now look, Bruce, if you're trying to cheer me up with false...
No, now listen to me. I'm the only person in the world who knows you're Superman, right?
Well, you were the only one. Well, that letter was lost.
Let me finish. Now, except for me, everyone else thinks you're a mild, timid guy, even a bit of a sissy. Isn't that so?
Yeah, I suppose. Although I think Perry White began to get suspicious tonight.
Oh, forget him. I'm sure anybody else would laugh at the idea of your being Superman.
But when they read the letter...
They'll probably still laugh. Or else, and this is why I had to see you, Clark, they'd try to test you.
Test me? You mean try to find out if I really am Superman?
Exactly. If whoever has that letter believes what it says and realizes the value of his information, he might try something like, well...
Firing a shot at me?
Maybe. Or pushing you out of a high window or something like that. Yeah. The important thing is that until we find that letter, I think you've got to be on your guard every second.
You're right, Bruce. How can I protect myself? Suppose somebody walks up behind me and fires a shot at my back. The bullet will bounce off me and he'll know the truth.
Oh, yes, that's right. Well, there's only one thing I can think of to do.
What's that?
Somebody's got to be with you every minute.
Huh?
Keep his eyes open and help you cover up in case anything happens. And that can only be yours truly.
Oh, I hate to ask you to do that, Bruce.
Oh, now forget it. It's vitally important that your identity as Superman remains a secret.
I know, but...
Besides, I know that you'd do as much for me if my identity as Batman were threatened. Now, wouldn't you?
Well, yes, of course.
Okay,
but...
then it's settled. Now, what are your plans? Where are you going from here?
I'm going to the office and see if anyone came in about that ad and then go home.
Mm-hmm.
I want to think this thing out some more.
Okay, you call your office. I'll settle my dinner check and meet you out in the lobby.
Right.
As Clark Kent and Batman leave the Boulevard Club to go the short distance to Kent's apartment, two skulking figures drop from the fire escape on Kent's apartment house into the dark alley. Swiftly, they scuttle across the street, where they crouch in the dark shadows of a church overlooking Kent's building.
That's Kent's apartment up there, Buster, see? Those windows on the sixth floor corner.
I don't like this eyebrows. Suppose he can tell we was up there.
How's he gonna tell?
Well, we might have left something.
No. I made sure we didn't leave anything. Not even a fingerprint.
But
I kept my gloves on the whole time I work. Now remember, as soon as we see Kent's lights go on, you beat it to that drugstore in the corner. Call him up. And when he picks up the phone to answer... We'll know if he's Superman or not.
How'll we know?
How? Didn't I explain it to you, stupid? The telephone receiver will blow up in his face.
Holy smokes!
If nothing happens to Kent, we'll know he's Superman. And you and I won't have to pick another pocket as long as we live. We'll be millionaires.
But suppose he ain't Superman?
Well, then it's too bad. Because when he picks up the receiver, he won't even be Kent anymore. He'll just be a lot of little pieces.
Jeepers, that'll be murder.
Yeah. I don't like that part of it myself. But you gotta take big chances for $1 million.
Look at eyebrows. Let's let go through with this. Let's sneak up there again and take the soup out of the phone. Come on.
Hey, are you nuts, Buster?
Nah, look. We've been doing okay. Maybe we ain't rich, but we've been eating pretty regular and not getting caught and sent up too often. Why should we take a chance like this and maybe wind up in the hot seat?
Don't worry. We're not winding up in any hot seat.
We might. Look, listen to me.
Now,
I'll
look, this is a chance in a lifetime, a chance to hit the jackpot. Now, shut up. Keep your eyes on Kent's windows.
But I both look, I...
Wait, wait. Look.
What?
Kent's lights just went on.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
All right, go on. Beat it. Get over to that drugstore and call him up.
But
get going, I said. I'll stay here till I hear the explosion. Then I'll meet you back at the hotel. Go on, hurry up.
Okay, Eyebrows. I sure hope this works out like you say. Okay, Eyebrows. I sure hope this works out like you say.
Call the office and see if anybody showed up about the letter.
But you called just a minute ago from the drugstore on the corner, Clark.
I know, but there
might
have...
Jim said he'd call you here the moment anyone showed up. So you relax. You've got to keep your wits about you, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe I'll change my shirt first.
What for? Where are you going?
I'm going to wait here an hour or two and then go out again. Be with you in a moment.
Okay, take your time.
Well, that may be Jim now.
There we are. I'll answer it.
Taking but one step to the telephone on the table, Bruce Wayne, who is really the famous Batman, reaches for the receiver, in which is set a trap that means certain death for anyone in the world but Superman. We'll know what happens in a moment when we return for the startling climax of today's episode. So stand by.
You know, gang, there's certainly been a load of excitement around these last couple of weeks, ever since I broke the news about that new series of comic buttons Kellogg's Pep is putting out. All the fellows and girls in the gang are getting set to collect all 18 of these new comic strip characters. Better get going on your collection, too, because you won't want to miss out on the fun. First, it's a thrill to see which button you find every time you open a new package of Kellogg's Pep. Maybe it's a funny paper character that you don't have yet, like the Little Moose, or maybe Brenda Starr, or Superman himself. Or if it's a duplicate, then it's fun to find out which one of your pals has a different button that you can swap with him. So how about asking Mom right now to get you plenty of that sunshine cereal, Kellogg's Pep? That's how easy it is to get these comic buttons. You don't send in any money, not even a box stop. And you can't buy them anywhere, but you'll find one in every package of Kellogg's Pep. That's Pep, the sunshine cereal, you know. Pep, the whole wheat flakes with a come-on flavor for breakfast. So golden toasted and crisp that, well, you practically can't resist them. Pep's good for you, too. Sure, Mom knows that. So remind her to stock up on P-E-P, the sunshine cereal, Kellogg's Pep.
Unaware that the receiver of Clark Kent's telephone has been transformed by Eyebrows into a deadly booby trap, Bruce Wayne, who is really the famous Batman, is about to remove the receiver to answer a call when Clark Kent, halfway across the room, shouts...
Drop that phone, Bruce!
What?
Drop it, I said! It's loaded with nitroglycerin!
Clark Kent's X-ray vision perceives the explosive in the receiver and he leaps forward. A deafening explosion rocks the room. Then Bruce Wayne shouts Kent's name and falls to the floor. What has happened to Batman? Has Eyebrows' vicious scheme to test Superman's identity taken the life of an innocent man? A man who stands almost as high in service to humanity as the Man of Steel himself? Don't miss Monday's smashing episode. Tune in, same time, same station.
And remember, for breakfast, it's Kellogg's Pep.
For excitement, the adventures of Superman.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Superman DC comic magazines and is brought to you Monday through Friday at the same time by Kellogg's Pep, the sunshine cereal. Think of the wonderful toasty things that taste good on a frosty morning, and you think of something crisp, crunchy, crinkly. Crumbles, sure, there's that name again, slips in every time. Crumbles, Kellogg's Crumbles. Just seems to go with words like crisp and crunchy. It's such a toasty kind of cereal, sort of sweet and mellow rich. And you know, it's the only cereal in the whole wide world made in those little crinkly shreds of good whole wheat. So when you think of good-tasting words like crisp, crunchy, crinkly, that means crumbles for breakfast, Kellogg's Crumbles. And be sure to be with us on Monday for the thrilling adventures of Superman.
Good morning. Thank you, Digital Henry, for introducing the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Today is the 23rd of September, 2020, the second day of autumn. What you heard was episode 5 of The Secret Letter by the radio series Superman. I'm going to go ahead and play episodes 6 and 7, which will conclude The Secret Letter that ran on 15-minute dailies, airing from the 25th of November to the 3rd of December, 1946. I replayed episode 5 from last week's show because that's the one that introduced Batman to assist Clark Kent and Superman in finding this letter. So we'll go ahead and play 6 and 7. I edited out all the advertising because it can be a little redundant listening to it over and over again because these were 15-minute dailies. My name's Arthur. Thanks for listening.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Kellogg's Pep. P-E-P, Pep. Kellogg's Pep, the Sunshine Cereal, presents
The Adventures of Superman. Today, Superman sets a trap for Eyebrows and Buster, the two pickpockets who found his letter, only to fall into another trap himself. Now, the adventures of Superman.
As you remember, a letter in which Superman revealed his identity as Clark Kent has fallen into the hands of two pickpockets who, realizing that their information was worth a fortune, if true, sneaked into Kent's apartment during the latter's absence and placed a charge of dynamite in the telephone receiver. Watching from across the street, Eyebrows, leader of the duo, sent his assistant Buster to phone Kent as soon as he saw the lights go on in the reporter's apartment. But unknown to the conspirators, Batman, in his guise of Bruce Wayne, was also in the apartment, and it was he who picked up the phone when it rang. Then, as Kent shouted a warning and threw himself forward, an explosion rocked the room and Batman fell to the floor. But as we continue now, it is Kent who lies sprawled across the shattered telephone. His face and hands are blackened, and his clothing is ripped to shreds. Listen.
Bruce, Batman, are you all right?
I guess so.
Oh, thank heaven.
Well, what?
Wait a minute, I'll help you up.
No, I can manage.
You sure you're okay?
Sure, I'm okay, but... Great snakes, what happened to you, Clark?
Well, nothing, I just...
Why, nothing? Your face is as black as coal, and so are your hands, and...
Oh, well...
Look at your clothes.
Oh, never mind that. Listen, what I want to...
You must be hurt.
Who, me?
Oh, yes, what am I talking about? You're Superman, but... Hey, what did happen?
There was a charge of dynamite on the telephone receiver.
There was what?
Dynamite, and it was rigged to explode when the receiver was taken off the hook. Fortunately, I saw it in time.
Wow. Fortunately is right. I could practically feel that halo on my head when I heard that explosion. Hey, these are nice enemies you've got.
Somehow I don't think this was done by my enemies, Bruce.
You mean your friends were trying to get rid of you?
No, of course not. I think... Listen. Uh-oh. There's a crowd outside my door.
Hey, open up the door.
What happened in there? Open the door. What's
going on here? Quite a crowd.
The explosion didn't sound like a cap pistol, you know. Look, I'll tell them everything is okay, then we can look...
No, wait a minute. Don't tell them that.
Why?
I want you to say I was injured, seriously injured.
Hey, look, I don't get this.
Come here, I'll explain later. Right now, just do as I say, Bruce, please. Tell him I was seriously injured and that nobody can come in.
But, Clark...
Tell him you're a doctor and your orders are that I'm to see no one.
But what about the police?
Don't let anyone in yet. Come into the bedroom as soon as you've gotten rid of them and then I'll explain. Hurry.
Okay, I got rid of the crowd. Now, look, will you please... Clark, what are you doing in bed?
That explosion will be reported. So I've got to make it look good when the police show up.
Make what look good? What goes on here? Why did you make me tell your neighbors you were seriously injured?
Because I've got a strong hunch, Bruce. This was a trick by whoever found that letter to test me.
To test you?
Yes. Don't you remember what we talked about just before? Matter of fact, it was you who suggested that whoever found the letter wouldn't believe I was Superman, but might try to test me to make sure.
Oh, yes, that's right. Now, your hunch is that someone who found the letter put the dynamite in your telephone receiver.
Right. His idea being that if I was unhurt, it would prove I was Superman.
Uh-huh. And if you were killed, it would prove you weren't.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a lovely character.
Very. Now, we've got to make sure he hears what happened. I mean, our version of what happened. So here's your next job, Bruce.
Okay, shoot.
Go down to the lobby and phone the Daily Planet radio station. Tell them to put a special bulletin on the air at once. Say.
Sure you heard the explosion in Kent's apartment, Eyebrows?
Yeah. How many times do I have to tell you, Buster? I was right outside Kent's building. And believe me, it was one beaut of an explosion.
Then what happened?
I didn't stay to find out. But we'll know soon. Either we'll hear that Kent was hurt bad, maybe killed in an explosion in his apartment.
Don't say that.
Or we won't hear anything. And that'll mean Kent wasn't hurt, on account of his Superman, the way the letter says he is.
Look, how are we going to hear about it, either way?
It'll be in the paper, stupid. And maybe on the radio, too.
Oh.
Hey, it's just about time for the regular news broadcast now. I'll turn on the radio and we'll catch you listen.
Creepers, I'm nervous.
Now, relax. Pull yourself together.
But supposing we killed the guy?
I don't think we did, because I'm sure Kent's Superman.
And now, the Daily Planet, Metropolis' foremost newspaper, brings you the news of the hour on the air.
Hold everything, Buster. Here comes the news.
Clark Kent,
oh boy, my noise.
Star reporter for the Daily Planet newspaper, was seriously injured in his apartment this evening by a mysterious explosion.
Hey, get that.
Oh.
The full extent of Mr. Kent's injuries are not yet known, but his physician says they are so serious that he cannot be moved to a hospital.
Holy smoke.
Quiet.
The police, who were called to the scene, have not yet issued a statement.
The police? Hey,
that's
fair. Unofficial
reports indicate a deliberate attack on Mr. Kent's life. He was... Oh, excuse me, please. Here's another bulletin that just came in. Clark Kent's condition is unchanged and remains critical, according to...
What'd you turn it off for?
I heard enough. Now, how do you like that for rotten luck?
This is a tough break, Eyebrows.
Kent isn't Superman, hang it. Could have made $1 million if he was.
I told you all the time he wasn't. Now what do we do, Eyebrows?
Go back to picking pockets and dodging the cops, I guess.
The cops, that's what I mean. We can't tangle with the law. We gotta blow out of this town.
Why?
On account, if Kent dies, we... We'll be murderers.
Oh, now, don't lose your nerve, Buster. Nobody can prove we did it.
But they might. We might have left some clue.
But we didn't. I told you I kept my gloves on all the time we were working in Kent's apartment.
Yeah, I know, but...
Forget it.
I
tell you, we got nothing to worry about. Only thing that bothers me is that letter was a phony. And all our work to prove that Kent is Superman was for nothing.
Kent, star reporter for the Daily Planet, was seriously injured in a mysterious explosion in his apartment this evening.
I've heard enough. As a matter of fact, that's the third time it's been repeated on a news broadcast.
Well, that ought to convince Mr. Whoever it is that you're not Superman, Clark.
Yes, it should, Bruce, but...
About what?
Well, we can't be sure. He may decide to try something else, and next time he might succeed.
Well, yes, but
There's only some way to find out who it was and how he's taking this phony news of my injury.
I don't know how we can find that, huh? Inspector Henderson's men are on the job, but they haven't been able to uncover anything.
Uh-oh, doorbell. See who it is, will you please, Bruce?
Sure.
I gotta stay covered up in bed.
Okay.
If it's Perry White or Lois or Jim, let them in. They know I'm all right.
Okay. Oh, hiya, Sergeant. Come on in.
Hello, Wayne. Inspector Henderson wanted me to tell you he found a glove on the fire escape.
A glove?
Yes, sir. One of them thin ones. Like safecrackers wear so as not to leave fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
Only sometimes they leave prints inside the gloves.
Yes, I know.
Yes, sir. We figure the fella got in and out of the building by the fire escape. Maybe dropped his glove on the way out.
Oh, of course. Well, where is this glove, Sergeant?
The inspector took it to the police laboratory. He just said for me to tell you maybe we had a clue to whoever tried to murder poor Mr. Kent.
Well, I sure hope so. Thanks, Sergeant.
Well, that's all. So I'll be going now.
Oh, will you tell Inspector Henderson we'll wait to hear more from him?
You bet. I hope Mr. Kent will be okay.
Thanks. Goodbye.
So long.
Clark! Did you hear that?
Yes, I sure did, Bruce.
This glove may be the... Hey, what are you doing out of bed?
I'm going to police headquarters. This might be bad news.
Bad news?
Yes, Bruce. Very bad news.
Puzzled, Bruce Wayne stares at Clark Kent, who is swiftly stripping down to his Superman costume. What does Kent mean? We'll know more in a moment when we return for the climax of today's episode. So stand by.
Say, gang, you know why Kellogg's Pep is putting out that brand new series of comic buttons, don't you?
because these Pep comic buttons have been terrifically popular with fellows and girls in the gang. Yes, sir, they've made such a big hit, all the kids are mighty thrilled to have a brand new series of 18 new and different buttons to collect. Just let me tell you some of the comic strip characters to look for. There's Toots and Casper, the Inspector from the Cats and Jammer Kids, and Pat Patton, Tess Trueheart, Chief Brandon, and Vitamin Flintheart, and Superman, of course. 18 new Pep comic buttons in all, every one a humdinger for looks. Believe me, you'll feel like strutting around when you wear them pinned on your jacket or your dress or cap. And you wouldn't want to miss the fun of trading duplicates with your pals. So hop to it, gang. Get busy on your collection. Remind Mom to get you a package or two of that Sunshine cereal, Kellogg's Pep, and you'll find a comic button inside every package. That's right. You don't have to send in any money, not even a box top. And you can't buy these swell prizes anywhere. But you get them along with a mighty delicious dish for breakfast in packages of those toasted whole wheat flakes with a Sunshine flavor. That's P-E-P, the Sunshine cereal, Kellogg's Pep.
Resuming his identity as Superman, Clark Kent has just announced to Bruce Wayne, the famous Batman, that the finding of a glove on his fire escape by the police was bad news.
Clark, tell me, what do you mean it was bad news?
If that glove was dropped by the man who found my letter, there may be fingerprints inside the glove which will lead Inspector Henderson to him.
Right, that's what I'm hoping.
Oh, well, I'm not.
Why not?
Look, strip down to your Batman costume, Bruce. I want you to come along with me.
Okay, but look, I don't get it. You said you wished you knew who had the letter so you could find out if he believed our story of your being seriously injured tonight.
Right.
So he'd be convinced that you aren't Superman. Now, didn't you?
That's right, and I still want to find that man. But I must find him before Henderson does.
Well, Clark, for heaven's sake, why?
Because whoever he is undoubtedly still has my letter.
Well, so what?
Inspector Henderson knows Superman's handwriting, that's what.
Oh.
If he finds the guy, he'll see in a moment that I really wrote that letter. Then he'll hot-foot it over here, discover that Clark Kent wasn't even scratched by the explosion.
And putting two and two together, Henderson will know that you're Superman.
Right. You see, I know he's had an occasional suspicion before. This would clinch it.
Oh, great snakes. What are we going to do?
Well, I don't know yet. We've got to find out who our man is and get to him before Henderson does.
Tall order, chum.
I know, but we've got to put it over. Oh, you ready?
Yep, all set.
Okay, then hang on. That's it. We're going through the window.
Let her rip.
Right. Out, up, and away!
Leaping into the night sky with Batman, Superman rockets away in another desperate attempt to preserve the vital secret of his double identity. This time from not only the underworld, but his friends, the police. Was the glove found on the fire escape one dropped by Eyebrows? And if so, can Superman and Batman trace the two pickpockets before Inspector Henderson does? Tomorrow's episode brings our story to a smashing climax, fellows and girls. So don't miss it. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow. Same time, same station.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
The Adventures of Superman. While Superman is busily engaged in an effort to protect the valuable secret of his double identity, he is unaware that one of his dearest friends is in grave danger. And now, the adventures of Superman. A letter in which Superman revealed his identity as Clark Kent, and which was to be opened only in the event of his death, fell into the hands of two pickpockets, who, in order to verify their startling information, placed a dynamite charge in Kent's telephone. Then, when Kent caused a report to be issued that he had been seriously injured in an explosion, the thieves were convinced that Kent was not Superman. But when the police found a glove which they believed had been lost by the mysterious dynamiter, Superman's fears for the safety of his secret identity were again aroused. For, as he explained to his friend, the famous Batman...
Inspector Henderson knows my handwriting. If he finds the man who has my letter, he'll know that I am also Clark Kent.
As we continue now, Superman and Batman have arrived at the Metropolis Police Crime Detection Laboratory, where we find them speaking to Sergeant O'Neill. Listen.
You say you did find fingerprints in the glove, Sergeant O'Neill.
As fine a set as you'd ever want to see, Superman.
Have you identified them as yet?
Not yet, Batman. I was just going up to the Bureau to see if they match any in our file. If they do, we ought to have the man who tried to murder Clark Kent.
Oh, Sergeant, do you mind if we go with you? Well, we're very good friends of Kent's, and we're interested in this case.
Even more than that.
Well, come right along.
Oh, fine.
Thanks, Sergeant.
Now, this way. Follow me. is almost human, you know.
Yes, it certainly is. You have the prints of every person you ever arrested on cards punched according to a specific system, don't you, Sergeant?
Yes, and if the prints I found in the glove match any in our files, the machine will stop.
Well, it hasn't stopped yet, and it's practically through that huge stack of cards. You know, Superman, looks like that glove was a false lead. Some innocent person must have dropped it.
I don't think so, Batman. It was found on the fire escape of Kent's apartment house. Wait a minute. Machine stopped.
Yes. Well, Sergeant, what's the answer to a $64 question?
Just a moment, please. Here we are. Number 3Y46-078.
I suppose that refers to a name in your file.
Yep, it does. And if you'll step across the hall with me to the master file, we'll find the name of the person whose fingerprints were found in the glove. Here we are.
What's the name, Sergeant?
Henry Baker, alias Henry Cook.
Baker to Cook. What an imagination.
And several other aliases. Commonly known as Eyebrows because of his thick, bushy brows.
You hear that, Batman? On a hunch that Perry White lost my letter in a taxi, I investigated and found that one of the passengers who rode in it that same day had thick, bushy eyebrows.
Well, maybe now we're getting someplace. Sergeant, what else do you have about this character?
Arrested for picking pockets in 1926 and again in 1929. Sentenced to 1 year in state prison.
A pickpocket, eh?
Uh-huh. Also arrested on suspicion of safe-breaking in 1932, but acquitted. Sentenced again for theft.
All right,
in...
thank you. That's enough, Sergeant. This fellow sounds like our man.
He sure does. Oh, Sergeant, what's the last address you have for him?
Let's see. Last known to be in California. Yeah, but he must have come back since we found his glove on Kent's fire escape.
Oh, yes, of course.
Well, I'm going in to report this to Inspector Henderson. He'll put out an alarm for this eyebrows character. You two coming along?
Oh, sure.
No,
we,
thanks very much, Sergeant. Wait, Superman. Batman. You go ahead, Sergeant.
All right, then. I'll be seeing you.
Right, and thanks again.
You're welcome.
Superman, what's the idea? Don't you think we should stick close to Henderson so when he picks up this eyebrows, we'll be right there?
Why, good'll that do. When Henderson picks him up, chances are he'll find my letter on him. He'll recognize my handwriting.
Yes, but
he'll go over to my apartment and find out that Clark Kent wasn't even scratched by the explosion. Then he'll know the letter is genuine and that Kent is Superman.
Hey, that's right. Well, looks like he's got us.
He has. Unless we get to Eyebrows first.
Well, how are we going to do that? We haven't even the least idea where he is.
Oh, yes, we have. A taxi driver took him to the Metropolis Hotel early this afternoon.
He did?
Uh-huh. I looked the hotel over, but didn't see a man with bushy eyebrows. It was only a vague clue, so I didn't go back. Now, things are different.
You're not kidding.
So, let's go.
I'm with you.
All right, hang on, chum. We're going through this window.
Let her rip.
Right. Up and away!
Hey, you're getting me dizzy. Zipping around this hotel like a comet, Superman. Any sign of our friend with the eyebrows?
Not yet, Batman.
Hey, has it occurred to you he might not live here?
Huh?
That he only stopped by this afternoon for lunch or something?
Aren't you the cheerful soul?
I'm sorry, but we've got to face facts. Oh, and there's something else.
Yes?
Suppose he is here. We just can't pop in and demand the letter from him. That'll make him suspicious that you are Kent.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
If we come to it.
Well, it's my only... Uh-oh. Hey!
You put out your hand when you're going to jam on the brakes.
Sorry. Look.
At what?
That room straight ahead. There's a tall, dark man in there, and he's got black, bushy eyebrows.
Oh?
And there's a little fellow with him. Hang on, Batman. We're going to perch on their windowsill and see what goes on. Shade is down. They can't see us.
And you forget I have no X-ray vision, so I can't see them either or hear them.
Wait a minute. I'll open the window slightly. I don't think they'll notice.
Watch it. Easy.
No, they're too excited to notice. Once more now. Watch it. Yeah. I can hear them.
Quiet. I can't find it anyplace, but...
is louder than a super good eyebrows.
I know, maybe not.
Oh, no? How about if you lost the glove in Kent's apartment?
I didn't, I tell you.
How do you know? You didn't know to get out of your muscle at all.
I know. But I'm sure I didn't lose it in Kent's apartment.
There are men.
I tell you, I
didn't. There are.
Anyhow, even if I did, how will the cops know it's my glove?
How? Didn't you read it to me yourself, out of the paper? How cops can get fingerprints out of the inside of the glove?
Yes, yes.
You know, he's got to blow out of here fast.
Now, wait a minute.
Now, look, wait, nothing. Kent is right there. If he dies, he'll be murderers.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, now, look, you can stay here if you want. I'm blowing.
Now, look, Bart. Okay.
If you and your big ideas to make $1 million proving Kent was Superman, that made us candidates for the hot seat.
Now, Buster, wait.
No, I ain't waiting another minute. I'm going to throw my guns in a suitcase, and I'm blowing out of the country.
Maybe you're right. We better scram.
That's a relief, Batman.
A relief?
Yes, we know now that our little trick, my pretending to be seriously injured in the explosion, worked. They're convinced I'm not Superman.
Sure, but they must still have your letter.
Yes, but I still...
And if Inspector Henderson grabs them and recognizes your handwriting in the letter, you're still in trouble.
Henderson won't find the letter on them.
You mean you're going to take it away from them?
But not by force. As you pointed out before, that would make them suspicious all over again. And men can talk in jail.
Well, then how do you intend to work it?
Well, I can see the letter. It's in an overcoat on the bed.
Well, so what?
Well, the little fellow is across the room in the closet taking his clothes off the hooks.
Mm-hmm.
Eyebrows is at the dresser. So as soon as he turns his back... Uh-oh, wait a minute. There.
Look out there, near the window.
Relax. Now look, I'm going to be in and out of there like the wind, so be ready to take off on the fly when I come out.
Okay.
Eyebrows is walking over to the closet. Here goes. Come on, Batman.
Okay. Did you get the letter?
I sure did. You should have seen their faces when they heard that rush of wind. They're so scared they won't stop running till they get to South America.
Or until they run into Inspector Henderson's arms.
Oh, I'm not worried about that now since I've got the letter. Say, that reminds me, I'm supposed to be injured.
You mean Clark Kent is?
Uh-huh. I better get back to my apartment and stay in bed for a few days, or a lot of people may ask embarrassing questions.
Never a dull moment, huh?
You said it. Here we go. Away!
Relieved of the danger of exposure, Superman rockets back to his apartment with Batman, believing all his troubles are over. But unknown to him, a new and even greater menace is being leveled against him and against those he loves best at this very instant. We'll be back in a moment with the startling climax of today's episode. So stand by. In Willow Heights, the well-to-do suburb 18 miles from the heart of Metropolis, it is just after 11 o'clock at night. As in his small police station, Sheriff Johnson yawns and reaches for the ringing telephone on his desk.
Sheriff's office. Johnson speaking. Who? Oh, yes, Mr. Taylor. What? What's that? Harry, wait. When? Sure. You bet. I'll be right over. Yes, right away. Ed!
Yeah, Sheriff?
Come on out to the car. Hurry. Perry White's just been shot.
What? Harry White? Editor of the Daily Planet?
That's right. Come on, man. Move. We've got to get right out to his house. Pronto.
Wide awake now, Sheriff Johnson, followed by his deputy, rushes from the little station house and into his car to investigate the report that Perry White has been shot. Who shot the gray-haired editor? Why? How serious is Superman's friend's injury? This begins a brand new and exciting Superman adventure, fellows and girls. It's full of excitement, mystery, thrills, and it gets underway tomorrow. So be sure to be with us then. Same time, same station.
And remember, for breakfast, it's Kellogg's Pep.
For excitement, the adventures of Superman.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Superman DC comic magazines and is brought to you Monday through Friday at the same time by Kellogg's Pep, the Sunshine Cereal.
Okay, that was the conclusion of The Secret Letter, a Superman series airing from the 25th of November to the 3rd of December 1946. The reason I played that is because it featured Batman, and Batman, unfortunately, never had his own radio series, so he was featured on a few select episodes of Superman. Maybe six or seven total. My name's Arthur, and you're listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Tufts Freeform Radio. Now I have to fulfill an FCC obligation.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Thank you, Digital George and Digital Henry. I'm not exactly certain what I'm going to conclude the show with. That's kind of what I'm experimenting here with this home recording. But coming up next, following the grand hour, should be CR and the Worst Boys Guild. You've been listening to Arthur here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Tufts Freeform Radio. This show has obviously been pre-recorded.
Gunsmoke. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Thing, too.
I sure do hope she ain't bad hurt.
Yeah, so do I, Chester.
That you, Mac?
Yeah, Doc.
Screen's unhooked. Come on into the bedroom.
All right.
In here, Mac.
Ah, good. See if you can talk some sense into this cantankerous old lady.
Well, I've known her for some years, and I've never been able to yet. How do you feel, Miss Larkin?
Good enough to get up and get on with my chores, but this broken-winded old veterinary claims I got to stay in bed for a week.
Well, Doc's right sometimes, just by the law of average.
Oh, Mrs. Larkin, better.
What have you been up to, Miss Larkin? Going in for bulldogging steers at your age?
Oh, just a piddling little old accident. And the way you and Doc and Chester come running out here, you'd think you was all in my will.
Well, you mean we ain't in it, ma'am?
Chester, it would do you no good if you was. I ain't going no place. I've got another good 20 years in me yet.
Well, if you go around wrestling steers, you haven't. How'd it happen?
Oh, that confounded breeding bull I bought last fall. He's meaner than an acre of snakes. Charges anything that moves. Can't even turn him onto the range. Have to keep him in a special built corral.
Well, that was a darn fool thing to do, getting in there at all.
I got about halfway across corral, and that dad blamed critter tossed his head and jerked his nose ring out of the hook. He saw me moving, so he come for me. Lonnie'd been wearing his gun, he'd have shot him. And thanks the Lord he wasn't. I got a lot of money tied up in that bull.
Your life ought to be worth a little something, you know.
Well, I still got it. I made the fence before he hit me, and then he missed me with the horns. Just butted me some before I could reach the top rail and haul up out of the way. Well, I'll be as good as new this time tomorrow.
Good as new?
Good as new.
Good as new. Any time an old wagon wheel hits a rock, Mrs. Larkin, it always leaves at least some of the spokes loose.
You speak for yourself, you old billy goat. You're just itching to make a profit off my infirmity.
Well, then at least you admit that you're hurt, Miss Larkin.
I'll live to bury this old weasel.
Old? You're talking to a man in his prime, Mrs. Larkin.
Oh, prime.
Well, I'm going to fetch some liniment out of the buggy. Now, don't you wallow around and loosen those bandages. You got a busted rib, young lady.
It's cracked some, maybe, but it ain't busted. Oh, he's a good doctor, confound him. But I sure enjoy plaguing him.
Oh, Doc does some of that himself, Miss Lark. Tell me, how things been going around the place?
Oh, they couldn't be better, Marshal. Except for this morning, of course, and that other little accident a couple of weeks ago.
No, what other accident?
Oh, a saddle girth broke on me, and I got sewed up in the North Meadow.
Oh?
Wasn't nothing, really. Wait, turned out, lit on the feet, as usual. I'm pretty spry for an old woman.
You're pretty lucky, too.
I am lucky, Marshal. Things seem to work out for me, like Lonnie Wells riding in here and asking for a job. Oh, the day he come, I was just about at the end of my rope.
How long's Lonnie been with you now?
5.5 months. And he's made it seem like a different world. After Ed died, I could go on because I still had my son. But 3 years ago, you remember, he was took from me, too.
Yeah, I remember.
And that little Dan, I just didn't have no heart to go on living. Then Lonnie come. He straighter took his place.
Miss Larkin, where'd Lonnie come from?
Oh, Texas, somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's a fine boy, Marshal. Just age little Dan has been. Well, he's like another son to me. Not just a hard hand. He's...
Miss Larkin, you sure you're feeling all right?
Yeah. I reckon I'm shook up more than I knew. Marshal, there's hot water on the stove. A box of tea on the shelf.
Oh, I'll fix you some. No, you just lie back there and take it easy.
I'll give you a hand.
I'm much obliged to you both.
You still the same mind, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
Well, young Lonnie Welch is a shifty-eyed cuss if there ever was one.
It's worse than just being shifty-eyed, Chester.
Want something real bad.
Well, sure, lots of time. What do you want?
That's the crazy part. I don't even know.
No?
Just something. Something I don't have, I guess.
Couldn't be a spring fever, could it?
It might. Except I felt the same way in the fall. Sometimes I think it's this country out here, Matt. The prairie.
So what do you mean?
That's just a darn big fancy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
You feel so alone. Like something's lacking in you. So you try to fit things in. Oh, things or people or something.
Yeah, I know. Matter of fact, I know an old woman who's doing that right now. She's trying to find a substitute for her dead son.
Who is that?
Ms. Larkin, out west of town.
Oh, with Lonnie Welch, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's sitting over there in that poker game right now.
Yeah, I've been watching him. He throws money around pretty free for a hired ranch hand, doesn't he?
The way I hear it, she gives him all the money he wants.
Yeah, but maybe not as fast as he wants.
What do you mean, Matt?
Well, early last month, Mr. Bodkin over at the bank came and told me that Ms. Larkin had been in and made a will. She's leaving everything she's got to Lonnie.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I felt the same way. Even more so after she'd had a couple of close calls. Accidents, supposedly.
Oh, well, Matt, something ought to be done.
You can't hang a man on a hunch, especially when he hasn't done it yet.
Well, yeah, but there's got to be something.
Well, I've been figuring on talking to him. Well, in fact, I think I'll do it right now.
Yeah.
I'll see you a little later, Kitty.
Yeah, sure, Matt.
A man's luck can't run bad forever. I reckon I'll stay in and raise another five.
You mind holding up this hand for a couple of minutes, boys?
Oh, what's up, Marshal?
What's the trouble, Marshal? Poker against the law now in Dodge?
No. I just want to talk to you for a minute, Lonnie.
You asking or ordering?
Come on, let's take a walk, huh?
Sure, why not? A man's a mind for talk, I'll oblige him. Just leave everything laid, gents, right there on the table. Getting this kind of personal attention is liable to flatter a man some, Marshal.
Yeah, sure.
We're right handy to the bar. I'll be glad to buy you a drink.
Lonnie, Where did you come from before you hit Dodge?
Oh, here and there. Why?
Ever been in Virginia City?
Not as far as I recollect.
I think you better think again. I put out some bulletins a while back, and the only answer I got is from Virginia City.
That's so?
Seems you were working a silver claim with a partner named Pete Ryder until he turned up murdered one day.
They must have mentioned something about the jury acquitting me on that, didn't they?
Yeah. Lack of evidence.
Well, in that case, I reckon I'll...
Just a minute.
You got something else in mind?
Yeah, I have. I want you to know that I'd figure it was real suspicious if Ms. Larkin was to die suddenly by accident. Like yesterday with that bull.
Now, look, that bull's a born killer, Marshal. You don't think I trained him, do you?
No, I think he let Ms. Larkin go out in the middle of the corral and then turned him loose.
And you told Mrs. Larkin that, too, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, she told me. And she also told me she orders you off the place. She wouldn't listen to such things.
Lonnie, if anything happens to her, I'll get you for it, so help me if it takes me the rest of my life.
I'll see you around, Marshal. I got a pat hand in this game.
You better have, mister, because you're betting your life on it.
Doggone it, Matt. There's just no sense to the way you play checkers.
Why do you say that, Doc?
Boy, you make some of the goddamnest moves I've ever... Well, you're worse than chess.
No?
Only time you beat me is when I let you do it, Doc.
Well, then you're mighty generous-natured. Oh, look what you done, Matt. Look what you done there. You left one of your men just sitting there, you see that? Waiting for me to take it. So, you see?
Yeah, I see. Well, there. All right, take another one, Doc.
Well, if you want to give me the game. Your move, man.
Okay, Doc.
Wait, Lucy, now, what?
That's three of you, men, Doc. That puts you down one. And the way I'm figuring, you're beat.
You're a generator too, ain't you, Doc?
Oh, sure, that's how you do it, yeah. You keep Chester talking like that so as to get my mind off the game.
That's right, Doc.
Yeah, you've got a mighty sneaky way of playing, if you ask me, too.
Evening, gentlemen.
Oh, how are you, Miles?
Hello, hey, Miles. Am I breaking in on anything important?
No, no, come on in. Come on.
I can't stay. I just wanted some information, Matthew.
No?
I thought you might be able to help me.
Information about what?
At Mrs. Larkin's place out west of town. What do you figure it's worth?
Oh, it's kind of hard to say. It's a good ranch, all right.
Aye, that's what I was thinking. And, well, if a man could buy it cheap...
What do you mean, if a man could buy it cheap?
Well, I heard it might be on the market before the end of the week.
Who told you that?
Well, a young fellow that works for Mrs. Larkin. He let it slip this afternoon. Oh, he'd been drinking kind of heavy, I suppose. Otherwise, he wouldn't.
Do you know where he is now?
Guy, well, somebody was saying he couldn't even make it back out to the ranch. He took a room at the Dodge House for the night.
Chester, come on.
Yes, sir. You think that I ought to make an offer for the place, Matthew?
No, I wouldn't bother, Miles. Not just yet, anyway.
He sure is dead to the world, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
Blind drunk, the clerk said. Didn't want to be disturbed before noon tomorrow.
Well, he's going to be disturbed. Give me that pass key, Chester.
Here you are.
Thanks.
I bet he's going to be madder than a wet hen being drugged out of bed this way.
Yeah, I'll bet he is. See if you can find the lamp and get it lit, huh?
Yes, sir. Must be over here on the bureau. Mr. Dillon,
huh?
Look, he ain't here.
Oh, that bed hasn't even been slept in.
And the window's standing wide open. He could have went out of it.
Yeah. Well, he's got a good start on us, Chester. Come on, let's get moving. Mm-hmm.
on you, Mr. Dillon. There's a fire at the corner of the house.
Yeah, that's against the wall of the bedroom, Chester. Come on.
Somebody's there. Either help me or I'm put it out.
Trying to put it out, Chester. That's Ms. Larkin.
Oh, well, then, Lonnie, he ain't been here yet, huh?
I wouldn't bet on that. There are a couple of buckets at the water trough there, Chester. Let's give her a hand.
Yes, huh? Sir.
That you, Marshal?
Be right with you, Ms. Larkin. All right, you ready, Chester? Let's go.
It don't look near as bad as I thought at first.
Oh, she's about got it put out, I think.
A little water here against the wall ought to do it.
Right. All right, throw the other bucket in the same place, Chester.
Yes, sir. Well, now. Looks like that just about does it. Who's touching go there for a while?
We better watch it for a few minutes. Those embers might flare up again.
Oh. That didn't do too much harm, looks like. Just burned the outside wall some.
Yeah, it was mostly just trash burning. All piled up again in the house that way. It was...
What's the matter, Chester?
Mr. Dillon, you smell coal oil?
Yeah, I do. Ms. Larkin, did Lonnie start this?
How'd you know?
Well, he made a big show of spending the night in town. We went over to the Dodge house and he wasn't in his room.
I don't know what it was woke me. But I looked out the window and there he was. He'd piled brush against the wall and was just setting fire to it. Aimed for me to die right in my bed. Marshal, I guess I owe you a apology. You was right. I was wrong.
Well, Lonnie's a smooth talker, Miss Larkin. Anybody might have been taken in. But he won't get far. We'll find him before sunup.
I don't reckon that'll be much of a chore, Marshal, finding him.
Oh?
He seen me at the window, and he picked up a heavy chunk of wood and come into the house. When Lonnie opened the bedroom door and come for me at that club, I shot him. He's laying in there dead.
For hand's sake.
Well, you got nothing to worry about, Miss Larkin. Any jury in the world would call it self-defense.
I ain't worrying, Marshal. Not about no jury. But it's going to be mighty lonesome around here again. Without Lonnie on the place. No, I ain't going to like that.
Maybe not, but... being dead might be pretty lonesome, too, Miss Larkin. You just can't tell.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear as Chester, Howard McNear as Doc, and Georgia Ellis as Kitty. George Walsh speaking. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.